Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining us today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, that's crossandthrone.com. Our phone number 847-312-4676. And please go to our website again at crossandthrone.com. You can listen to these audios that we're recording here for free. You can download them, do what you please. To be able to listen to them on your own time. So we beg of you that whatever you hear on this program, you go back to the scriptures themselves to prove whether these things be so. That's the definition, the biblical definition of somebody who's noble. Well, today we're going to talk to you about something. The title of this message, and I'm very excited about this one, it's called Christ Our Hope and Right Division. And I'm going to repeat that, Christ Our Hope and right division. And before I get into it, I just want to read you Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. What I'm about to read to you, I'm asking that you don't just listen to it, but that you believe it. Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, or you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, whenever this may happen, whenever Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also appear or be manifested with him in glory. Now I want you to notice that. This is a hope of the body of Christ, as we find here in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, to be manifested with Christ in glory. And where is this glory? Where Christ now sits. Now let's talk a little bit about Christ our hope and right division, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there is only one hope for the body of Christ, and there is really only one hope for all of God's people in all of time. What we just read in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, is the hope of the body of Christ. Now, if that's true, is there hope for other people? Is there another hope for other people? But again, I want to make clear that Christ is the hope of all people. Christ himself is the hope of all people, whether you're a member of the body of Christ, whether you're part of that company of the redeemed who will inhabit the New Jerusalem, whether you are the nation of Israel who's going to enjoy their inheritance on earth, or whether you're the believers among the nations who will come up to worship Israel's God in the millennium and come up to worship by the New Jerusalem and the new heavens and new earth. Whatever redeemed people there are, Christ is the one hope. Now, what that means, it doesn't matter what company you belong to, Christ is the one hope. However, that does not mean that we ignore all the distinctions in the Bible. Even though Christ is the one hope of all people of all time, it does not mean we ignore all the distinctions in the Bible. The Bible says that Christ will come back to the earth and touch the Mount of Olives. That's you find that in Matthew and Zechariah. Yet in Colossians 3, where we read at the beginning of this program, Christ will be manifested in glory, and that's connected with the right hand of God. There is a difference. Christ coming back and putting his foot on the Mount of Olives is not the same as he being manifested in glory itself at the right hand of God. So the question is, are there spheres of hope? Are there different places, as it were, where God's redeemed are going to dwell? Now, first of all, as far as I can tell from my study of the scriptures, there are at least, now notice what I'm going to say, there are at least three places where God's redeemed are going to dwell. In Matthew chapter 5, number 1, the first place we read is, the meek shall inherit the earth. Thus, we have a group who have their hope in Christ, as we do, but they're going to inherit the earth. It's the same Christ, who's the same Savior of these people who are going to inherit the earth, and those who are going to inherit, who are going to be manifest with Christ in glory. It's still the same Christ. However, there's one company of believers in Christ who are going to inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5. Now, number 2, there's another group that meets Christ in the air, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the Lord descending from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ rising first, and the living meet, and the dead meet Christ in the air. That's another group. They meet him in the air. He comes down and they meet him there. Now a third group, another group, will be manifested with him in glory, associated with the right hand of God. Now for myself, at one time, I used to take all three of these and blend them into one and said they're the same thing. But the Bible uses different terminology, and this is something we have to recognize or we're going to have utter confusion. Christ in a group inheriting the earth, another group that meets Christ in the air, and another group that's manifested with him in glory are three different items as far as I'm concerned. And I think this is something you will discover if you be a Berean and search these things out. Remember this, it's the same Christ, but there are three different spheres of blessing here, as we see in as we just pointed out. Now this word hope, let's talk a little bit about hope. Now the word hope in the English language has deteriorated in time. Some people, you know, you ask certain people, you know, are you saved? Are you a believer? Are you going to go to heaven one day? And they usually say, I hope so, which means they're probably not a believer. If I see you driving a really ugly car that looks like it's about to fall apart, I might say to them, I sure hope you make it to your destination. And I think you know what that means. That means I have a lot of doubt whether he's going to make it there or not. However, in the scripture, the word hope means you are persuaded of something and expecting it. See, it's opposite of the way we use the word hope today. Hope, again, has to do with something you're persuaded of, and it's something you're expecting. Hope is always connected with the fulfillment of a promise or a realization of a calling. Do you hear? Pay attention. The word hope in the scriptures is always connected with a fulfillment of a promise or a realization of a calling. So the question is, what promise and what calling? Now let's illustrate this. In the book of Acts chapter 26, we read this. Acts chapter 26 and verse 6 and 7. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, and now I stand and am judged for the hope, here we go, of the promise of made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, or expecting to come, literally. So we see in this verse there's a specific people, the 12 tribes and the fathers, and there's a specific promise being referred to. In Acts 28:20, we have more of the same thought. In Acts chapter 28, verse 20, for this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. That's what Paul says in Acts 28:20. So again, to repeat ourselves, hope is always connected with a fulfillment of a promise or a realization of a calling. And so the question you have to ask is, what promise and what calling? Now, Ephesians chapter 1 and 4, there's reference to hope. The hope of Ephesians is found in Ephesians 1, the hope of his calling, and Ephesians 4, the hope of our calling. And so if we know our calling, we will know our hope. If we are ignorant of our calling, in other words, if we just mix up the difference between the bride and the body, the church and the kingdom, heaven and earth and New Jerusalem, if we just blur all the distinctions, we will not know our hope. Thus, we can't walk in harmony with it, nor can we teach it to others. You cannot walk in harmony or walk worthily of a hope that you have or a calling that you have if you don't know it, and you can't teach it to others if you don't know it. And that's why this topic is so important, friends. Now, there's a term in Scripture that is a term that can help us with this topic, and it's the term adoption. And as we pointed out, there are at least three distinct companies who will have their realization of their hope in three distinct places. Now, this word adoption will help us with this. Now, what does the Bible mean by adoption? It's not like the modern process of adopting a neglected child. The Greek word is literally to place as a son. It's not to be born, but to be placed. One who is born is not placed. He's born into a family. But to be placed is not only to be born into a family, but that you have also been chosen by the head of the family and put down in his will to be the firstborn one and given an inheritance. You see the difference? And if you read on your own, read Galatians 3:15 to 17 and parts of Galatians 4, where a making of a public will, a will at the time that Paul wrote Galatians was a public matter. And once a will was made and confirmed, there could be no altering of it. This is not like today. You can make a will and change it. But back in the Galatians time, when they made out a will and decided which son was going to have the place of the firstborn, you could never alter it. So if you want to understand the background behind this term adoption, you have to read Galatians 3 some. Now, there are three companies who enjoy the adoption in the Scripture. Now, in Romans 9, 1 through 5, we read that Israel, according to the flesh, has the adoption. And you'll have to go back and read this. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 5, it says, regarding Israel after the flesh, that they are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption. Now, this is for Israel according to the flesh, and it's connected with the earth. And we see that one specific people have this adoption, Israel according to the flesh. Now, that means that I don't have it, and if you're not a Jew, you do not have it either. This only belongs to them. Now, there's a second group that has the adoption, and it's found in Galatians 3 and 4. And we also see the same term in Hebrews 12, the church of the firstborn. Now, the term firstborn adoption are in reference to the same thing. They're given the place of the firstborn. And in that calling, there is neither Jew nor Greek. And it's connected with the New Jerusalem. Now, you're going to have to work on this. You're going to see that Abraham was promised a city whose builder and maker is God. You never read about that in the Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, Abraham was promised the land of Palestine, but we find out a little secret in the book of Hebrews and Galatians that God promised Abraham a celestial city called the New Jerusalem. Now, finally, the third company of God's redeemed that enjoy the adoption are those who, according to Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world for a place of a son. And this is in spirit. And it has nothing to do with the flesh. The earth went to Israel according to the flesh. The New Jerusalem goes to those who are neither Jew nor Greek. And in Ephesians, it is given to those in spirit. And they belong to the heavenly places. And members of the body of Christ are not looking for him to come to the Mount of Olives, nor to meet him in the air, but to be manifested with him in glory. For further information, read Ephesians 2:19, Philippians 3:20, and Titus chapter 2. Now, this has been a topic. This is a very introductory topic. But we want you to realize, what is your hope and what is your calling? What is the promises that you enjoy? We're going to read our promises are found, if you read Ephesians very carefully, God, through Paul the prisoner, revealed the truth concerning the body of Christ, their hope, their calling, and their adoption. And I hope you believe it, embrace it, and find a place in the body of Christ, and enjoy for the next two coming eons a place in the body of Christ among the celestials, or as the King James puts it, in heavenly places. This is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions, please give us a call, 847-312-4676. Also go to our website, crossandthrone.com. Listen to these programs on there. They're free to play or download. And we hope you also get a copy of the Companion Bible. You can get it from us at our website. The Companion Bible and the appendices of the Companion Bible, great study tools. You need to get a copy. Until next time, remember this: the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.